In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Your love, O Lord, forever I will sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted.
Truly our shield belongs to the Lord. Our King
is
the Holy One of Israel.
A reading from Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a pattern throughout the Bible in both the Old and New Testaments where there is a welcome to the vulnerable stranger. We don't even need to think about the differences in time and culture. The ideas of hospitality in the Bible compared to our own understanding of hospitality in our own time and context, because many of us have lived through a shift of welcome and hospitality in our own culture. There's a comedian, Sebastian Maniscalco, that speaks of this shift in a stand-up bit. I won't do the entire bit, but he says, "It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today as opposed to 20 years ago. 20 years ago, your doorbell rang, and that was a happy moment in the house. It's called company. Be sitting there on a Thursday night watching TV, your doorbell rang, and the whole family shot off the couch. Oh my God, put the lights on, somebody's here, we got people. The whole family went to the door. The kids were in socks, they slid up to the door. Nobody looked to see who it is. You just open the door, and you're like, oh my God, look at that. Look who's here." And you ask them, "What the heck are you doing here?" And the person be like, "I was in the neighborhood. I thought I might stop by and see how the kids are doing." And they're like, "Oh, come in. We've got to have some cake." And he said, "Your mother had a little Entenmann's or a Sara Lee crumble cake, just in case company came over. She even made an announcement when she bought it. She's like, nobody touch this cake. This is for company only. Those crap muffins, they're for you people over there. So you better hope to God someone came over so we can cut the cake." She put the cake in the middle of the table, proud of it. Put it right in the middle. "Cut yourself a slice. Want a cup of coffee?" He also mentioned Sanka in the bit. Nobody had a cell phone back then. Your house phone did ring. Your father stood up and said, "Nobody get the phone. We got company." You lost track of time. 2 hours went by like that. "We got to get out of here," they said. "That's okay. Next time we're going to come to you." "Hey, yeah, my door's always open." And then he says, "Now your doorbell rings." You're like, what? Your mother's crawling across the kitchen floor. Get down. Army crawl. Army crawl. Get in the closet. Get the sword. There's a sword in the living room. Right? There's a huge shift. You can't stop by anybody's house anymore. He goes on to say, if you do stop by somebody's house, you got a call from the driveway. You're like, I'm here. Can I approach? It's me with three other people. We're going to walk up the middle and through the side. So his observation, we can all, I think, relate to. There's a shift in our own culture the last few decades. Many of us have gone from hanging out in the front porch to fenced in our backyard from our neighbors. We relied on one another then than we do now. We were taught now to be more self-reliant, that needing help can be seen as a sign of weakness, and we should be ashamed of that. We used to borrow a cup of sugar from our neighbor or a tool. But now you go to places like Lowe's, they've replaced our neighbor because their slogan is, let's build something together. You don't need your neighbor. So being countercultural in this regard can be challenging for many reasons. But how can we be open to the moments where we can be hospitable or that we can receive hospitality from others? It's grounded in a sense of compassion. And there are extraordinary, heartwarming stories of inspiration out there. Just came across one the other day where there is an Australian man living by a cliff, and he prevented over 160 suicides in his 50 years of living there by striking up a conversation with people, contemplating it, and then inviting them into his house for a cup of tea. Compassion. Hospitality, love for neighbor, flowing from a love from God that is shared with others. As you got a little snippet of our vacation Bible school this past week, we reflected on God's love that is a seed in me, God's love that takes root in me, and God's love that is growing in me. That love that takes root in our lives, that grows as we grow in faith towards God and also towards one another, is a calling and a life that is grounded in compassion, love, and hospitality. And when we are gathered for worship, our liturgy is within the framework of hospitality as we are centered in word and sacrament. Think about when you go to someone's house, you typically don't just start eating, right? You visit for a bit. You exchange stories. That's what happens here. We hear stories as we're welcomed into God's house. We hear God's stories. We speak to God as we hear the scriptures are also read. We greet one another with a sign of peace, and then we get ready to have a meal. In these means of grace, the living God is showing us divine hospitality in God's house with a welcome to the Lord's table, where we feast on the bread of heaven and drink from the cup of salvation. They came across these words from Shane Claiborne this week in regards to worship. He said, according to Scripture, worship is beautiful. Not when it's in perfect harmony or when it has a catchy beat, but when it is in harmony with the poor and marginalized. When justice flows from our worship like a mighty river bringing relief to the oppressed. Otherwise, even though they may sound pretty, our songs are just noise to God, like a clanging cymbal or an annoying gong. In our consumer mentality that's called us and caused us to rely more on ourselves, to care more about ourselves than our neighbor, we've often made worship about us and not about what God is calling us to or inviting us to participate in. We easily lose sight. We easily lose the spirit of compassion and hospitality when we only care about what we're going to get out of something, or if something is going to inspire us, as opposed to seeing the worship and the divine hospitality that we're invited into as something that we should aspire to live into in our own lives. To aspire to be as welcoming as God is welcoming. To aspire to be welcomed as others welcome God. When justice flows from our worship, the hearts of compassion, our hearts of compassion, are opened to the stranger, and hospitality is a natural occurrence with our neighbor. And it's not just us, as we hear in our gospel lesson,
that is doing the hospitality. It is others that are welcoming us as well. Are our hearts and minds open to being the ones that offer hospitality? And are we also open to receiving hospitality? That also can be very challenging in our culture today. So those opportunities might look different in 2023, certainly compared to Jesus' day, but as we just demonstrated earlier, certainly different from 2003 or 1983 or 93. But when we come to God's house, that welcome and invitation has not changed, because God seeks to take root in our hearts and for God's love to flourish and grow throughout the world. When we receive the Holy Supper, we are reminded of the cross that our Lord has used as a means of welcome and reconciliation between us and God. And as we are welcomed, as we receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be an imitation of Christ in the world, because we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ that we receive takes root and grows within us, we become what we eat. We are the body of Christ, the church in the world, and welcome others to the harvest of God's love. In taking on the cross, Jesus uses the cross as an instrument of compassion and forgiveness. And it is through the cross that we know that we will not lose our reward. It is in the cross that we know that we will not lose our reward. For the cross is both a sign and symbol of compassion and hospitality. I think of the Red Cross, right? An organization. They say that that Red Cross signifies a promise of voluntary, neutral, and impartial assistance to all people in need, regardless of race, religion, or citizenship status. As Christians, we proclaim that on the cross, Christ seeks to draw all people to God's self. So it's not surprising that many have come to find comfort in the cross as a sign of compassion, love, and hospitality. And as we are gathered for worship around word and sacrament, we're reminded of the forgiveness of sins. In those scriptures that are read and the gospel proclaimed, we hear God's promise. And in the meal that we receive, we know that we always have a place with our God. Does not take Herculean efforts of compassion and hospitality. In our gospel lesson, it can be as simple and as mundane as a cup of cold water that is given. Another story that I came across recently was someone sharing that their dad had died when they were 8 years old. They played ice hockey. And all the dads would take turns in the locker room volunteering to tie his skates. But he said they did so not in a showy way, but in a way that was hospitable, that flowed from a sense of compassion. We give to others. We're open to others offering something to us. And we let God do with what God is going to do. And we often will be surprised with how God's grace can break through, even in the simple and seemingly mundane acts of compassion and hospitality. As we were reminded just a few weeks ago, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Who are also reminded that we do not do this holy work alone, and that the promises and the faithfulness is on Christ that ensures us that our rewards will never be lost, that we will never be lost. So let us not lose sight of the good news of God, who is full of compassion, a God who is hospitable, a God who feeds us and nourishes us always, that we are then sent into a world that often lacks empathy and compassion, but we have been filled with this God with hearts full of compassion. In a world where the fields seem to often be inhospitable, we offer a ministry that is hospitable, loving and serving to all people, welcoming all people to partake in God's harvest, that all of us can trust in that promise, that our lives and the rewards that we have in Christ will never be lost. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
Yeah.
society rejects, or resolve to serve all in need, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor, conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for creation, for all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams, for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this nation and all nations, for presidents, governors, and legislators, for judges, juries, district attorneys, and public defenders, for military personnel, for those who are incarcerated. Guide us in ways of freedom that promote the common good. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for exiles, immigrants, refugees, and for those seeking asylum, for victims of harassment, torture, or abuse, for those who are ill, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Everly, Alice, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna, and Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Vaughn, Mary, Diane, Carol, and our homebound, and for any near death and for all who grieve, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for children, for their safety at home and in child care settings, for their flourishing at summer programs and camps, for the many people who care for them, including parents and grandparents, child care workers and teachers, coaches, counselors, and mentors, pediatricians and psychologists, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the saints and prophets who have received the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May their lives of humble service inspire us in faith. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
There assureth one other sign of God's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your light. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen!"
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen!" Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nation. Grant us such life. The life of the Father, to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the bank, for all is now ready. You may be seated. distribution of the sacrament, we'll come forward and we'll be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive the glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Our assisting minister, Ryan, will have the chalice of consecrated wine. And usher will have the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Call forward those who are bringing communion to our homebound. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.